Yo, Z-Pack, this episode is made possible by the generous sponsorship of Athena Health. Athena Health partners with hospital and ambulatory clients to drive results. They offer network-enabled medical record, revenue cycle management, patient engagement, care coordination, and population health services to build Health 3.0. Yo, get back to the work you love doing. Athena Health, free up.
Guys, welcome to the show. It's, Monday night? Tuesday night?
Yep.
Tuesday night. I just got back from Anaheim where, you know, I'm all about talking. This month is sponsored by Athena Health. We're trying to talk more and more about physician burnout, clinician burnout, nurse burnout, and how we might alleviate it and get technology out of the way to actually help us. And I didn't think I'd be really dealing with physically burned out stuff like the hills of Anaheim. And then my beloved Napa is also ablaze. And this is, is this just some houses there?
It's a winery, Z.
Is that Signorello?
I think so.
That is one of my favorite wineries in Napa. And it is now nothing but dust, which makes me very upset. Which makes me
sad. We need to pour it out for Napa, you know what I'm saying?
You know what? I'm going to endorse this action. Because many people have lost their lives. And on top of that, there was a...
Is the cork in the bottle
top? Oh, yeah. I had to open it ghetto style. By the way, one of the things you guys may not know about Z before we get into tonight's topics, Z is a wine snob, wouldn't you say?
This isn't even from Napa.
This is from the Russian River Valley. Where do you think that is?
It says Central Coast.
Central Coast. That's Napa.
It's not the...
Anyway. Wouldn't you say you're a bit of a wine snob, Z?
You remember the movie Sideways?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that bald dude, Giamatti?
Yeah.
Remember what he said about Merlot?
That's right.
That's what I think about your Central Coast piece of shit that you're drinking on my show right now with the cork pushed into it.
You know
okay?
what?
This is a crime.
I knew you were going to get aggro about this wine. And so guess what? Pop quiz, bitch.
Pop
Behind
quiz,
you in the cabinet, you will find two wines, Z-Dog MD. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay? One is a $5 bottle of wine, and one is a $50 bottle of wine. And I want you to tell all of us which is which.
Ooh.
I had no idea this was coming, and it's probably a total lie, knowing Tom, but oh my God. This, you know what? I'm gonna say something right now. I hate you two so much, and yet you are my favorite people in the world because we're gonna do this. All right, so we have the blue pill and the red pill, and Z-Dog is going to figure out which is the which $50 bottle.
One of these is a $50 bottle,
mm-hmm.
Which me and Logan are enjoying right now.
Mm-hmm.
And one of these is a $5 bottle, which probably tastes like pure swill.
Okay. Well, it's tough to tell color because one of the cardinal rules is you don't fucking put them in colored containers. Okay? The second thing that's going to be difficult is to actually swirl a wine to get an what the bouquet is. In a party cup, okay? But you know what? I'm gonna lower myself from on high. Like, Icarus got too close to the sun, burned his motherfucking wings. I'm coming down, and I'm gonna come down to your level, Tom Heinemann.
We'll call this one the red cup wine.
Mm-hmm. That is a simple yet delightful wine. I'm gonna guess. It's a cheap Pinot Noir.
Well, they're both cabs, so
well,
you're
then,
wrong.
Problem Story number one. You know what? It's the kind of cab that tastes like a cheap Pinot Noir. Now let's try this one. You know, part of me wants to say they're the exact same wine.
I wouldn't do that. That's cheating.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that might be what it is.
<It's not.
laughs> Really? So this one, if I'm going to guess, and it's probably placebo, has a little more structure and a little more tannin to it. It's less sort of cloying than that one. So I'm going to say this is the more expensive one.
God damn it. He got it right.
Yeah. Oh, snap.
Son of a
bitch.
But
you know what? You know what? I'm not going to gloat on this because it could easily have been luck and placebo because I like the color blue and I'm not a fan of red. It's also been documented historically that wine professionals get fooled. They can't even tell the difference between red and white wine sometimes on a blind tasting. So the brain creates reality, people, and my brain just created the reality that it is two cups, one Z. Let's put this over here next to, oh, let's go with the Tad cam because I think Tad has a new friend.
Tad has a boyfriend.
Tad has a boyfriend, which we've been trying to hook him up for a long time because he's very lonely here. He spends all his days and nights here doing nothing. And we don't give him a computer, so he can't download porn or anything like that. So it's just Tad, and now Tad has a boyfriend. And the reason Tad's boyfriend is a stormtrooper is there is a new trailer for the new Star Wars coming up. And that to me is not exciting because the trailer was terrible.
I didn't enjoy it. And you know what? I'm gonna go way out on a limb here.
Don't do it.
Because I'm drunk. No, I'm kidding. Listen, the prequels are better than these new piece of shit movies.
What?
I said it. I don't care. That first one was junk. And you can all go straight to hell.
I'm gonna disagree. I hated Episode 7 when it first came out. Then I watched it again and again and I was like, oh no, this is a brilliant movie. I get it now. I see what they're doing. Now, the trailer, either it gives away the entire movie and you're like, oh, okay, I just wasted my time because now I know what's going to happen. Or it's so brilliantly a diversion that everything you think, just like what Luke says in the trailer, Tom Heineber, you know, this is not going to end the way you think it ends, right? I don't know. You tell me. Now, anyways, we had a point to this show. It wasn't just drinking crappy wine out of crappy cups after I... Oh, there's several points. Okay, we're going to talk about the Utah detective that was finally fired after roughing up Nurse Alex Wobbles in Utah. And we're also going to talk about the fires in, particularly in Northern California, although they're going on in Anaheim as well, and the two hospitals that were evacuated there. So this gets into the discussion of like the general heroism of medical people under duress. We've seen it in Las Vegas. We've seen it during Hurricane Harvey. We've seen it during Irma. We've seen it during Maria. We are part of a tribe of really cool, dedicated people, period. But before we do that, today I gave a talk at the Medical Group Management Association about 1,500 administrators. What? In Anaheim. It's like Disneyland for the dark side. And it was amazing.
It was actually amazing. Where the dark side lives because the mouse bought them, so.
The mouse did.
Mm-hmm.
Mouse owns dark side?
Mm-hmm.
Why does mouse own dark side? I didn't. Natasha, why does mouse now own dark side? Dark side should be owned by Lucasfilm. I don't know why I'm doing that accent. Anyways, the Medical Group Management Association, Anaheim Convention Center, Smoke Everywhere. I did a keynote this morning talking about Health 3.0, did a bunch of songs, and weirdly got a standing ovation. Why? Because these administrators, practice managers, the business side of medicine, believe in bringing balance to the force. They are suffering just like frontline clinicians are suffering under Health 2.0. And the idea that we have to please these virtual bean counters wherever they are in government or whoever's paying the bills. And we have to change how those bills are paid. We have to change how our practices are structured to prevent disease, focus on collaboration, teamwork, transform empathy into compassion. And the CEO of the Medical Group Management Association is Dr. Haley Fisher-Wright, who wrote this book, Back to Balance, which just recently came out on Amazon. I'll try to provide the link. She is a pediatrician, also runs this management company, but has been run big group practices, wrote a book with Dave Logan out of USC called Tribal Leadership, which is, the other day we were talking about these levels of development. It is really another reiteration of that kind of development, but applied to sort of corporate America and management. And it's tremendous. It really transformed my way of thinking early on when I read it about 5 years ago. And so I got to meet her. She is a 3.0 legend, you guys. So I can't wait to tell you guys more about this, have her on the show. I actually wrote an endorsement for the book on the back, which is cool because I'm in the company of, let's see, Tony Hsieh, CEO of Zappos, Jack Canfield, who wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, and the CEO of the American Medical Association. And I made a little blurb there. So I'm excited to have her on. I'm really excited for everybody who joined me this morning. It really, really, really is inspiring to see the seeds of Health 3.0 start to begin to transform the country. It is actually happening, Z-Pac, and it's because of y'all. So that being said,
Tom, hey, real quick though, I have a bone to pick with Cornfield, okay? Because he ripped off my idea, clam chowder for the conscience. Such a dick, that guy. I can't say enough bad things about him.
You know, the worst thing you said about him is you called him Cornfield, and his name is Jack Canfield. But you know, when you know what? Listen, the other day I had a long, dark chowder of the soul, and I was drinking clam chowder and thinking about you, Tom. I can't believe you haven't published that book yet. That being said, what were we talking about, dude?
Dude, Kim says, sorry, Z, but we want to talk about the piece of shit that finally got fired.
All right, let's do this, Kim. I'll tell you how much I care about this. Zero, because I knew he was going to get fired, because you don't survive that much drama and still have your job, especially when behind the scenes everyone's sort of telling me that he violated all kinds of protocols. And that's what happened. So Utah police officer was fired Tuesday after being seen on video roughly handcuffing a nurse because she refused to allow a blood draw. Now, she was in the right, he was in the wrong. We have already been through this. Alex Wubbles, Alex and I have been in communication. We're hoping to get her on the show in the near future, but you know, obviously she's doing nursing stuff and busy. Maybe we'll get her on FaceTime, actually.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And so Salt Lake City Police Chief Mike Brown made the decision to fire Detective Jeff Payne after an internal investigation found he violated departmental policies, you think, when he arrested nurse Alex Wubbles. Okay. Now, in the disciplinary letter, Brown said he was deeply troubled by Payne's conduct, which he described as inappropriate, unreasonable, unwarranted, discourteous, disrespectful. It's like, how many negative adjectives can you put in one sentence?
Yeah, douchey.
Yeah.
Super douchey.
Super douchey. Mm-hmm. He could have said other things too, like verb-wise. He could have said, I was flummoxed, perplexed, cowlooned, McGillicuddied. Like, just make stuff up and put them in a sentence. You demonstrated extremely poor professional judgment, especially for an officer with 27 years of experience, which calls into question your ability to effectively serve the public and the department, Brown wrote. And the attorney who represents Payne said his client served the department for 3 decades well and questioned whether his behavior warranted termination. Scordis couldn't immediately be reached for comment. And also Lieutenant Tracy, who sort of supervised Payne and actually told him to arrest Alex, was demoted to officer, so his lawyer couldn't be reached for comment. Tracy made an impulsive decision in ordering Payne to arrest Wubbles without first taking time to understand the facts of the situation and the law. That's always nice to know if you're in law enforcement. Brown wrote in his disciplinary letter, he said that the order created chaos and unnecessarily escalated the situation. Your lack of judgment and leadership in this matter is unacceptable, and as a result, I no longer believe, sir, that you can retain a leadership position in the department, Brown says. Well, what do you guys think, Z-Pac? Has justice been done? Was this an overreaction or an underreaction? Should they be frozen in carbonite and hung on Jabba's wall? Should Tad take them as a mate? Should they be put into the Phantom Zone like Superman 2 and sent into space? Son of Jor-El! Or is this appropriate? Let's read some comments. Alex Wu, the Wu, says, blacklist those fools. Michelle Dismet says she needs to sue him. I hate litigation. I really do. That's the thing. Just because I have a thing about that, being a doctor. Whatever. That guy spent 27 years on the force, clearly violating the laws he swore to uphold. Kim Gibbs, there you go. Oh, and so there was more. So apparently, Payne did run afoul of disciplinary proceedings in the past. In 2013, he was disciplined after an internal affairs investigator confirmed that he sexually harassed a female coworker in a, quote, persistent and severe way. So he's apparently used to mistreating women. If you believe that, and apparently the investigator did. And so there's that. But now on his defense, he was had commendations for solving burglary cases and was shot in the shoulder during a traffic stop in 1998 while trying to grope the person who was stopped. I'm kidding. I made that up, but it just feels right. All right. What do you think? Neutral zone? Put him into the Phantom Zone? Send him into space? What do you think? Tom, I'm going to drink your expensive wine right now.
You can't just say things, Z-Dog MD, okay? That's rude.
That has never stopped me in my entire career, which is why my career now consists of sitting at a table in the suburbs of Las Vegas with two people without medical degrees drinking shitty wine out of a paper.
How dare you? I have a medical degree from the Caribbean.
Look at that lacy.
What's that? Those legs?
The legs.
You know what?
Yeah,
Logan, is truly a connoisseur. Plus, he has no ability to switch cameras properly, but he does.
I'm drugsy. I don't know what you want from me.
He's drinking wine. He does have a very sophisticated nasal palate, so he is able to smell Tom's farts from like 4 miles away, whereas I have to get up really close. And this is the thing. He's actually quite a sensitive individual.
I am severely bummed about Napa Valley and Central California, because I was supposed to go up there with my wife to San Francisco for the weekend, and they're saying the air quality is the worst that it's ever been. How bad is it to be in the Bay Area right now and just breathing the air?
Well, I'll tell you this. I was just in Anaheim breathing the air, and it was shitty. And that was a much smaller set of fires. The thing about the Bay is it does tend to scoop the smoke. And I've been there during fires. I was there during the Oakland fire in 91, and it was really difficult. And ash comes down. And remember, this isn't just burning wood. It's not a natural fire. This is burning stuff. So electrical equipment, imagine all the shit you have in your house. Would you put that in the fireplace? Probably not, because it would do terrible things like leak mercury and create toxic gas and things like that, much like Tom. And in the setting, I'm making this up, Tom rarely farts, and we'll deny it if he does. In the setting of that, you have people breathing this in a bowl situation. Now, the thing is, you know, people have lost their lives. Tom and I were talking earlier about how you could possibly lose your life in a fire. And the thing is, well, because it happens really fast, you don't see the danger until it's already on top of you. And flames are everywhere. And there was a couple that was like 98 and 100 years old, a couple. And they were killed because they couldn't evacuate. So you could imagine it could be really hard. Apart from the winery and all the property lost, it's interesting to see what happened with the hospitals there. And I have a deep connection to this community because when I was a medical student, I did a month in Santa Rosa at the Sutter facility that was evacuated. For family medicine, that was my family medicine rotation. We stayed in a set of trailers that they had across the street that I think have burned. And it was right next to a battered woman's shelter and some other things. So I have a lot of memories around that whole thing and learning family medicine there and being terrified of being a doctor and all the other things that I did. And then also I made a lot of good friends in Santa Rosa. So to see that community directly affected and those medical institutions, so Kaiser and Sutter, who are technically competitors, both of them had to evacuate. And when you see the images of these evacuations, you know, it was really quite remarkable. Some Z-Packers sent me stuff. I mean, nurses were putting patients in their private cars and driving them to other area hospitals. And Queen of the Valley, I imagine, is totally overwhelmed. They're a Napa City hospital, great hospital, great staff. And so Kaiser's going to remain closed until the state health department can actually inspect and make sure it's safe, even though there's no fire around there anymore. So this is a huge deal, and these people behaved truly heroically, including the EMS people and ambulance drivers who transported patients out of those hospitals, including critical care patients. Right? It's a big deal. You guys know what this is like.
Michelle says they were 99 and 100 and they just celebrated their 75th anniversary. That shit is sad, Z.
It's really quite sad.
Why do we love old people that have been together for a long time? Everybody loves that.
Right?
Yeah.
And you know what? Part of me thinks, because I'm a cynic, part of me thinks, well, they're just together out of inertia or they've burned out on hating each other. And actually, I'm just able to be together. And maybe I'm just, you know, I'm projecting on a lot of the older relationships that I've seen. They're sort of marriages of, not necessarily of love, but of, particularly in immigrants.
Yeah.
Marriages of arrangement or marriages of convenience or whatever. And then they get into the boomer years and they realize, wait, you know, we're typical boomer narcissists and we can't, why are we still doing this? And you get these late life divorces and things. So to get to 100,
yeah,
that's a big deal.
Well, it kind of goes into the conversation we had about spiral dynamics and Maslow's hierarchy, right? Like marriages used to be for resources and now marriages are for self-actualization.
For self-actualization.
And it's hard to walk the path with somebody and self-actualize continually along the same steps for 75 years. That seems ridiculously hard.
It's hard. And I actually, if you're on a particular path to self-actualization, you want your spouse to be with you, but often you may be at different levels of personal development, spiritual development, whatever it is. There's different planes of development, right? So it's not just you can have intellectual development. There's a type of spiritual development, you know, and not just religion, you know, meditation, spiritual practice, et cetera. There's emotional development. And so all those lines come out. If your spouse is at different levels totally, then part of your job is to either catch up with them if they're ahead or nudge them up if they're not, and that's work. And that means marriage is work, which we already know it is. You and me and Logan all know that because we're all married. And you have to put work into a marriage. So,
do you remember when Ben Affleck got up there at the Academy Awards when he won for Argo and he said, marriage is work, but it's the best kind of work. He was talking about his marriage to Jennifer Garner.
That went well.
And there were reports that afterwards she was pissed because she's like, oh, it's work being married to me? Huh? I was in Elektra, bitch. Okay? And then they got divorced. And then he got a really bad tattoo of a phoenix from Harry Potter on his back. He's a grown man. He did that. It was really
strange. Ben Affleck did this? Mm-hmm. Can I tell you how much I fucking hate Ben Affleck? I really hate him. He did this thing on, who's that guy, Bill Maher's show?
Yeah.
Where he debated Sam Harris,
who's
my personal hero. Mm-hmm. And Sam was just basically, you know, devastating him. And he's like, no, you're just a racist, Sam. He's like, no, I'm saying this and this. And Bill Maher was agreeing with Sam.
Yeah.
And he was just being a whiny little bitch. And, you know, I wish Sam would have gotten up and just slapped him across the face, across his freaking... Was he Deadpool? No, that was the other guy.
Ryan Reynolds.
Right. Ryan Reynolds is like good Ben Affleck.
Well, Affleck's in heat again. I don't know how the show became about him, but now it is. Because he is saying, you know, it's disgusting about these allegations about Harvey Weinstein. You've been following
this. Oh, my God, yes. This is fascinating.
So he's saying, oh, it's so disgusting. And then Rose McGowan, who's another actress, was like, come on, you knew, Ben. You knew.
Yeah.
And you said nothing.
Yeah. Everybody knew.
You do? Yeah, everybody knew in Hollywood.
Everybody knew.
You know, there's an old book about Miramax I read a long time ago. Harvey Weinstein's been a real piece of shit for 25 years.
For decades. Which is admirable. I mean, to keep it up for that long, be so rapey for that many years.
Right.
That takes a dedication to the cause.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. So I actually wanted to compare Weinstein to this douchebag officer who got fired, Payne, because, you know, sexual harassment suit again. And I've talked to some people who've messaged me saying they've worked with this guy and they've found him to be really atrocious.
Yeah.
So again, you don't want to this is all people's opinions.
They kind of look the same too. They're like, Payne has that, like, he's balding, he's got gut, and he's just like, hey, ladies, what's up?
Buddy? You know what? Just because you're balding and have a gut doesn't mean you're rapey, okay? But Weinstein is pretty awful, and everything that's coming out, and you know, it's not like he's denied any of it. He's like, well, you know, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. I came of age. It was new age shit. You know, you just harass people. You know, one of the deals, like, he had masturbated in front of somebody.
Yeah.
In a hall.
Who hasn't?
I mean, really? Right. Honestly?
Wait, was this
Payne? I didn't want to be the first one to say that.
Payne or Weinstein?
Not Payne.
Oh, okay.
Weinstein. Yeah, no. Now, listen. I don't want to libel Payne by even implying that Payne masturbated in front of anybody, okay? Jeez.
You guys want to hear a crazy story before we get off Harvey Weinstein? Hmm. Dame Judi Dench has a tattoo of Harvey Weinstein's name on her ass. And that is true. That's a true story. You heard it here.
You only know what? Guess where I came before the show? I came from the tattoo parlor, Tom Heineberg. And I had Lieutenant Detective Payne tattooed as a tramp stamp on my lower back. So it's the same thing. Sometimes you just have to celebrate assholes by tattooing their name on your buttocks.
People are like, stop gossiping about movie stars. But I don't think it's gossiping about movie stars, because this is a man in power abusing his power for sexual favors against women, which could obviously happen in healthcare and has in the past. And I'm sure we're only months away from some sort of scandal of the same type in a healthcare setting.
It won't come out because there's a culture of extreme silence around healthcare sexual abuse. And this is a fact. And I'll tell you, like, there have been books written about this, like, I forget what it was called. Frances Conley? She was a female neurosurgeon at Stanford and basically just wrote how awful it was to be a woman in that environment. It was a bunch of just atrocious men behaving like assholes. And I will say I was there and I saw some of this. And there was just a general culture of grossness that in medicine is tolerated and used to be encouraged. And that's one of the vestiges of Health 1.0, I think.
Ooh,
you guys still drinking?
It's hard to pour wine with a cork in it.
Well, you know, that's why you typically don't let the cork go in. But you know what? Who am I to judge? After even like half an inch of this, you know, a wonderful whatever it is, I just don't care anymore. So, what do we got, Tom?
Brad says, so terrible. Women surgeons have to go through hell.
Yeah.
So, you know, just in terms of sexism in industry like this, did you saw a lot of this when you were coming up? Because you would have been coming in right around the time, I imagine, the female ranks were swelling.
Oh, yeah. We had a plurality of women in our residency group. And that doesn't mean, and you know what? They were, I got to say this, like, I know it affected them, but they were so freaking, they almost had to overcompensate in projecting an aura of toughness just to be able to get through that space. And it was worse earlier, and it had gotten better by the time I was there. Like, Mrs. Dog never really encountered it, but there was some real just grossness. And I think it's gotten a lot better, but it's still a struggle. And I think, you know, in society as a whole, it's a problem, but in medicine, it is really a vestige of, like, women really only significantly joined the ranks in the last few decades, and it had been a, you know, white male thing for a long time, and then it became a brown and white male thing, and then women started really folding in, and so now we're seeing a lot more diversity. You know, we got yelled at the other day when we did the interview with the UCSF medical students, and we were talking about diversity and all this shit, and they were all dudes.
Yeah.
It was like a sausage party in an Airbnb. The reason was that the video we shot needed all men in it, but I think their class is pretty much as diverse as any class has ever been in terms of both gender and everything.
Plus, I think those dudes wanted to come to Vegas and bro down, you know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying? Because that's what we do, we bro down. Bro is a verb.
And listen, gender equality and stuff, but we can't bro down with you ladies here, you know what I'm saying?
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Sorry.
But Jessica, if any of y'all want to bro down, just hit us up.
We're down, Jessica bro. Evans said, when I got accepted to medical school, my grandfather told me he would never trust a woman doctor. A woman's place is in the kitchen raising children. That's her grandfather said that to her.
Yeah, I said
that last week.
What did you say, Logan? You said that last week.
Yeah.
Being married to a wife who works and has a career and a life of her own.
She hit me, Z.
I know. You are
you deserved abused, it in that case.
Abused man. Bro down. Get any more hick than that, Vicky Fielding? No, we can get a lot more hick than that, Vicky, but we'll save it for another show.
It's like a hoedown, but with all bros.
It's a bro down, baby. Peace, love, and wine, Laura Strong. California state hospitals are male-led, Claire Church. I think for the most part, although I'd have to look at the statistics on that, in terms of, I know we had a female CEO at Stanford for a while before she was replaced by a male. But
listen, Sanja says, yeah, some girls can bro down. No, you can't, Sanja, okay? Girls, they cowgirl up. You know what I'm saying?
I believe it's Sonya, but I may be wrong.
I think the J is silent. Just with the J, I'm just like, yeah, Sonya.
Some gals can bro down. Logan getting a beat down when he gets home, Rachel Kinman. Well, now, you know, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. That's why Logan loves guns so much. It's like a protective outer layer against a gooey, vulnerable center. Let's see, Christopher Lloyd, still plenty of RBF among male and female doctors, but female surgeons have the worst of it, like they're ready for a fight. Oh, RBF, resting bitch face. I don't know, Christopher, if that's true. I think the whole concept of resting bitch face has a sexist sort of tint to it, because it's saying that if a woman has the same facial expression as a man, which is this, they're a bitch. Whereas a man is just a motherfucking man.
Well, one of the things I think about resting bitch face is, women sort of have to gird themselves for battle as they step out of the house. So, like, yeah, why are they going to be smiley at random men?
Right.
When, you know, like, the whole world looks like a predatory environment.
That's
I would put on a bitchy face, like, don't fucking come near me, bro. Don't even try. You trying to bro down with me? I don't bro down. You know what I'm saying?
So what's my excuse for my resting bastard face?
You smile at everybody. I see you in random places. You're just all smiley.
I'm gonna smile.
You're a smiley McGillicuddy.
In fact, usually when I'm caught in public, because I forget sometimes that some people might know who I am when I'm traveling, it just doesn't occur to me that I might get recognized until I do. And so I'm just sitting there at like an airport, like doing this. My life. Why is my life so hard? And then I'll look up, and there'll be like somebody there. Hey, guy. What's up, Z Dog? Oh my gosh, I'm a big fan from Duluth. Could I get your selfie with you? Oh my gosh, I really love that time that you did that thing with Doc Vader. And the whole time before that, I've just been like, oh. And I have a face that looks like I just sniffed a combination of feces, urine, and that stuff that gets under people's penises.
Cocaine.
That's right.
Colleen says, I love it when people tell me to smile. Have you ever in your life told a woman to smile?
Oh, my God. Are you ready to get punched in the face?
Why would you even do it? It doesn't make sense to me.
It makes no sense. Aaron Bullock says, my RBF is strong. I get called out all the time. I like that, Aaron. Looking at your avatar, you even have an RBF in the avatar. And it's tight. No, you don't. You're smiling beautifully.
Vicky says, thanks for bro-dying for cowgirls who have to cowgirl up. You're welcome, Vicky. We got your back. Brother to sister, you know what I'm saying?
Cowgirl to cowboy. It's what we do, bro.
I'm gonna send you out some of this cheap wine, all right? It has a screw top.
I don't think you can ship wine, so.
You know what? Screw tops, though, all joking aside, Z-Pack, this is a teachable moment.
God damn it.
Screw tops are the second most ideal enclosure for wine.
Blasphemy.
Because they don't cause something called corking. Corking is a kind of a mold that grows on a certain percentage of cork, which is a natural bark of a tree in Spain, and it fouls the wine. So every 10th bottle or something will be destroyed by corkage. The screw tops don't have that problem. Now, the ideal enclosure for wine is what wine, Tom Heineberg? Do you know?
I don't know, but it reminds me of a song that Lil Uzi once said, which was screw top, pop top, cooking up dope in the hot box.
That's not how that goes, Tom. Mm-hmm.
What were you saying? What's the best enclosure for wine?
A vacuum.
My mouth.
Logan had it right. It's a vacuum. My mouth. Yes, the best enclosure for wine is Tom's mouth hole.
In a vacuum.
Put it right in my mouth hole, people.
Mm-hmm. The vacuum part of a box wine. Ooh. So box wine is actually the ideal wine enclosure because as it dispenses its wine, it creates a vacuum behind it that excludes air, and so the wine doesn't further oxidize. Ooh. It's not a great vehicle for aging wine because the aging of wine sometimes requires a little bit of oxygen to seep through that cork. That's why it's unclear that a screw top is actually a good way to store a long-term wine. We don't know the answer to that.
So you should transfer your fancy-ass wines to a box and then keep them in the fridge for when you're ready to drink them.
That's classy.
You know what? I'm going to run home, my three fanciest wines, and I'm going to squeeze them into a Franzia box, and I'm going to write in Sharpie, fancy-ass wine, bitch, don't drink.
Hey, there's this comedian I'm trying to get on our show. His name is Bert Kreischer, and he drinks a box of wine a night. Not the small boxes, too, a real Franzia every night. And he got bullied by Joe Rogan into doing something called Sober October. So for the month of October, he's going sober. And I'm worried about Bert. And I actually want to get him with you to make sure he doesn't die.
This is what's going to happen. Sober October is going to turn into Withdrawal Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And Delirium. Is there a day of the week that starts with a D? Other than Dilaudid Day? That's a bad idea unless he's got some support.
Yeah.
Because if he drinks that much wine a day, his tolerance, we did a whole show on alcohol withdrawal called Delirium Tremendous. I highly recommend you check that out.
I'm going to try and get Bert on the show next time he comes through Vegas and tell us how his sober month went.
I think that's a great idea. I just don't want him withdrawing on the show. Because, dude, if you guys have taken care of alcohol withdrawal, it is a pain in the ass. Like, they're trying to clown punch you. There's a hell of violence. By the way, you know what I wanted to do, Tom? I have this song called Take 'Em Down about, it's an original song that we wrote with this ER doc, Rob Orman, who's a friend of mine, about sedating agitated patients. Mm. And I actually listened to it on the plane coming back. I haven't heard it in years. And I was like, I like this song. We should make a video for it.
Well, can't we just do Howled All the Room 5?
That's the song. Howled All the Room, same song. I have five of my names for it. Yeah, Howled All the Room 5. You want to do that? I was thinking it's a backyard wrestling match with a bunch of people in gowns sticking each other with needles.
What about I Want to Be Sedated by the Ramones?
That's, you know what? That reminds me of that scene in Rick and Morty where he says, hey, 2003 calls, they want their, what was it? They want their joke back because he said insane clown posse in response to something dangerous. And then the follow-up to that was, hey, 1995 called and wanted their joke about the years being the meme thing back. You see what I did there? It's meta.
By the way, we got Z watching Rick and Morty now, which is the greatest show of all time. So you should all watch it also.
Listen to me very carefully, people. The The fact that Rick and Morty exists in this multiverse, this particular slice of universe, is a sign that man is okay. Like, I was worried about mankind. I was worried that we're dumbing down into a goo of fart jokes and toilet humor. And then I saw Rick and Morty and I said, it's not just fart jokes and toilet humor. It's multi-dimensional, improvisational, cable vision thinking. And, you know, wubba-dubba-dub-dub, that's my new catchphrase. You know what I'm saying?
By the way, Carrie was saying we should do Movember. You know about Movember?
I know well about Movember because I did that song Manhood in the Mirror about my junk and Movember, and I did Let It Flow about the prostrate. So those two songs are Movember classics. Movember is when we talk about men's health. And not like men haven't dominated the planet for the entire history, but they do not dominate their own personal health very well.
But you know what you gotta do for Movember, right?
What's that?
You gotta grow a mustache.
That is dumb.
And me and Logan already got one. Logan's is pathetic, but mine's is good. And you should grow one too.
Can I grow like a Jon Snow, like really lame frizzy mustache?
Then you'd look just like Logan.
You know what? Maybe we'll have the Movember challenge where, see, the problem is, listen guys, like Mrs. Dog hates facial hair on me, so she will not allow me to grow it. I wanted to do Movember every year and she's like, I don't care about your Z-Pack. I don't care about your balls. I don't care about your stupid men's health, okay? All I care is that your face isn't covered with shit called hair. It doesn't happen in this house. If you want to sleep somewhere other house, you go ahead and you do that. And that was how it went down.
Yeah. My wife won't let me grow a beard, but I look like I'm 16 when I don't have a beard. So I need this beard.
You need this beard, Tom Heinover. You need this beard. We all need that beard. what do you think,
Tom? Should we wrap it up, Z?
I think so.
I say we wrap it.
I say we wrap it so hard.
Also, Liliana Cook gave me the best compliment. She said, cop fired, California fired. Tom Heinemann on fire. You're welcome, girl. Bring the funk just for you.
This has been one of the greatest days in Tom Heinemann's life. And on that note, I really want to thank the MGMA for having me come out to speak. I want to thank the Utah Police Department for firing that jackass. I want to thank nature for stopping the fires soon, please. I'm prophylactically thanking you because people's lives and livelihoods are in danger. I want to thank all, yes, I want to thank FN 473 here for being a good partner for Tad. And I also want to thank Athena Health for just being the most awesome sponsor this month. They are having us really focus down on burnout, which we talk about every single day, because they want to help make it better. And I want to support companies that want to do that. So that being said, Tom Heinemann.
They also invited us to Boston. And Logan's going to throw tea in the harbor because freedom.
But we're on a budget, so he's going to throw literally one bag of tea.
No, we're going to get him a Tazo tea from Starbucks. He's going to just chuck the whole
cup in there. Communist tea, Z.
It is communist tea. Throw that shit in the harbor, because they don't belong in our country.
America!
America! On that note, we love you, America, and we love you, Z-Pack, and we are out. Peace! Go, 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 go.
Yo, Z-Pack, this episode is made possible by the generous sponsorship of Athena Health. Athena Health partners with hospital and ambulatory clients to drive results. They offer network-enabled medical record, revenue cycle management, patient engagement, care coordination, and population health services to build Health 3.0. Yo, get back to the work you love doing. Athena Health, free up.